So the next talk will be Metagrad Multiple Learning Rates in Online Learning. It's joint work by Tim Van Erven and Wouter M. Koolen. And Wouter will be giving the talk.
Thank you, Simon.
All right.
Thank you.
So welcome. Let me tell you something about a new algorithm that we developed. So I want to start with a single slide showing you what the algorithm is about. So the algorithm is called Metagrad. It's an optimization algorithm. And the new and good thing about it is that it can adapt to a whole range of environments. So it can deal with stochastic data, but also worst case data, curvature, and a few more things. But let's start at the beginning. So we're going to look at optimization. So you're all familiar with optimization. You might have seen it maybe in the context of training a spam classifier. But you could also think of maybe more sequential data, for example, investment, say your pension. Or you could think of a big data scenario where it's a batch case data, but you're going through it sequentially because of runtime considerations. Okay, so for the purpose of this talk, I'm going to take the sequential viewpoint. So let me explain. So we have a learner and we have an environment, and we're going to iterate and proceed in rounds. So each round, we're going to pick a parameter setting, and we're going to test this in the environment. So I'm not going to make any assumptions about the environment, so that's why I draw it as a sort of globe, complicated, we don't know. So in this environment, there is a way to decide how good all the parameter settings are, and that's represented here by a loss function in purple. So this loss function is chosen in some way by the environment. And then we look at the parameters that we picked and how good they were, right? So that's the orange line is the quality of our parameters. Higher is worse. And the feedback that we get in this scenario is the quality of our parameters and the gradient of the loss function at the point that we picked, right? So we're very parsimonious. We're not expecting to get this whole function. We just get this very local information, the gradient. Okay, so based on this, we update our point, and we choose some new parameters for the second round. Again, there is a process that determines the quality of all parameters. This is now F2. And again, our loss is measured at the point we pick, and we observe the gradient. All right, so this proceeds in rounds, and it goes on in principle forever. We want to keep on learning. Okay, so what's a good learner? So after a bunch of rounds, let's say big T many rounds, we can check what's the loss of the learner, and we can check what's the loss that you could have had if you knew in advance all the data, all the rounds, all the functions. So that's the optimal loss. And the regret is the overhead of the learner for figuring out these optimal parameters in an online fashion. So small regret is good, and we want to develop learners that have small regret. Okay, so let me show you the simplest algorithm for this setting. So you may have heard of gradient descent for optimizing functions offline. But you can make a variation. You can, if you do it right, use the same algorithm, now called online gradient descent, to optimize a series of functions. So what you do is you start with some parameter, you play it, you observe the gradient, and then you take a small step in the opposite direction to get to better parameters. Right? And these functions are different every round, but still by doing this, and by carefully thinking about your step size, you can show that this gives a square root t regret bound. Right? So this is sublinear, we're learning, that's great. And I want to emphasize that this is actually a very strong result. So you can deal with reactive adversarial environments that choose the losses to frustrate you, and you're still guaranteeing that you're learning. All right, great. So let me show you a slightly refined picture, because there are some more things you can do. So I already told you that you can guarantee a square root t regret, and that's under the only assumption that the losses are convex. So that includes many things you might want to work on, but the sort of hard case is linear, and a close relative of that is the hinge loss, which is very popular. right? So those losses lead to a square root t regret. Now, if you make additional assumptions, you can do better. And the next assumption in the hierarchy here would be x-concave losses. And the most typical example is the logistic loss, or maybe squared loss. So those losses have what's called curvature. So that's good because it allows you to reason about the function far away from the point that you're playing. So if you exploit that, there is a possibility of improving the regret now to d log t. So it's suddenly logarithmic in t. If you make even more assumptions, so that's called strong convexity, which is more curvature, then you can do even better beyond that and get down to a dimension-independent log t. Okay, so this is the sort of the standard picture that you can find in many textbooks on this topic. Okay, so there is one thing that is sort of a little bit disturbing, which is that if you want to get the square root t regret, the recommendation is to run online gradient descent, the algorithm I already showed you. Now, if you want to get the log t regrets, you have to run a much more sophisticated algorithm. So you have to do a variant, sort of a quasi-Newton algorithm. And in this case, for example, you could run online Newton step. Okay, so then if you have a strongly convex case, you have to run another algorithm yet again, which is also a version of online gradient descent, but tuned completely differently. So now as a practitioner, you look at this and you have to figure out which algorithm to pick. You have to decide on these assumptions, and it's sort of not ideal. Okay, so the question that we started out with is the question, can we make a single algorithm that adapts to all these scenarios smoothly, that we don't need to tune, that is adaptive automatically, right? So we want to get everything, basically. Worst case safe, we want to exploit curvature whenever it's there, and we want to be efficient, right? And when we sort of started making this list, we immediately added a few more things, because sort of obviously, once you are adaptive to these sort of extreme points, you want to go in between. That's sort of not extremely ambitious, but it would more or less be a consequence. But there are other areas of online learning where people are doing much more sophisticated things. For example, in the bandit setting, there are now algorithms that can deal with stochastic data and adversarial data without knowing which ones they get. Right, and we want to do that in optimization as well. And there are also cases where you don't need any curvature and you can still get much better bounds. All right, so how would such a method work, this method that we like to have? So the first thing to realize is that whenever you have an optimization method, it will have tuning parameters. And they may have different names, but they're in a sense all after the same thing. You have to regularize the right way, or you have to pick the step size the right way, or the learning rate, or the model complexity. Right? And in, as I showed you in gradient descent, this will be the parameter eta, the step size. So it's very natural to say, OK, if I need this important parameter and I don't know it, let's learn it from the data. OK, good. So what's the problem? Well, if you're not careful, and if you try any sort of default textbook approach, you'll find that you're going to learn this eta at a slow rate. So you're going to blow away the advantage of setting it right with the overhead for learning it. So that's the problem. So what we do instead to overcome this is we're going to work with multiple learning rates simultaneously. Yeah, so that we're going to have a whole bunch of representative learning rates, and we're going to learn the best among them. So that's why our algorithm is called the multiple eta gradient algorithm. So let me show you the algorithm. So the algorithm will operate with a set of subroutines. And just to impress you, I guess, I drew them here as running on their own machine. So this is for the big data guys who like this. But sorry. But you could just as well run all of this on a single machine. That's also what we do in the experiments. Okay. So the point is that there is sort of a natural opportunity for parallelization, and that I can sort of nicely illustrate by showing it to you this way. Okay, so good. So we have a bunch of learning rates. There will be log t many of them, which is, if you think about it, at most 16 for any reasonable number of data set size. Okay, and there will be one master algorithm that coordinates all these subroutines. So in all the subroutines, we're going to maintain a covariance matrix and a parameter estimate. And in the master, we're going to maintain weights on all the subroutines. Okay, so how does it go? So every round, all the subroutines send their current estimate of the best parameter to the master. The master then computes a funny average where these learning rates are coming in that are corresponding to all these subroutines. And so he gets an average parameter that he uses in the environment. Okay, environment sends back the gradient. So we're only looking at the gradient on one point, the point the master plays. Okay, and then the master is going to do an update. So it's going to look like an exponential weights update, but it's a little bit different. So you see e to the minus eta, some notion of, in this case, regret. And there is an additional square term, which is very important to avoid overfitting completely. Come to the poster and we can explain more if you want. All right, so this is what the master update is like. So he computes new weights. Then he sends the gradient to all the subroutines, and those do a quasi-Newton update. So they update their covariance matrix by adding in the gradient information, and they do a step on the weights where they take the old weights and they subtract a scaled version of the gradient, but now the geometry is taken into account because of the learned covariance. And there is here is a little difference. This is really just for the experts. This term isn't there if you would run each of those subroutines on its own. But now, because we are getting the gradients only at the master point, we have to correct for this. And so we have this additional factor. But it's very cheap to compute. OK, so what do you get if you run this thing together? So the first thing to check is that we want to keep the worst case regret bound, which is the, as you can see here, the square root t regret bound. So that's good. So the additional benefit of all this together is that you now get a square root v regret bound. So what's v? V is some notion of variance where you look at the best point in hindsight and you look how far is the algorithm playing from that, and you take the in product with the gradient and then square it. So the good thing about this that you can already see now is that there is no need for the gradient to go to zero, even if they don't, as long as the algorithm actually converges to the best point, you're going to have a smaller regret than square root t, at least the potential for that. Okay, and for getting this type of bound, so I'll show you the consequences, which are much more interpretable, but for this type of result, it's very important that you can tune in the best possible way, so you have all etas in flight, because there is many quantities here that you don't know and that you need to involve in your tuning. Okay, so now I want to talk about two consequences that you can get from this bound. So let's look at curvature now. So recall the bound says that the regret is of order square root v times d log t. And now let's see what happens if we throw this algorithm in an x-concave or strongly convex case. So what we can show is that now it suddenly gets the appropriate rate, the d log t rate for those scenarios. And the good thing here is that it doesn't need to know the parameters of the curvature. Okay, and then one of the things we can also explain to you in the poster is there is a sort of a nice side consequence of this, is that you also get fast rates if you do classical optimization, so if it's just a fixed function. All right, so one word about why this happens. So curvature, as I told you, it implies you some knowledge about the function far away, and it actually gives you some slack on the tangent bound. If you add up all that slack, it will be of order v. And then if you annihilate that with the v in the bound here, only the d log t remains. So that's the reason. OK, let's look at the other case we want to exploit. Let's now assume that we're operating in a stochastic regime. So we have losses that come from some distribution. And the natural thing to compare to now is to the point that minimizes the expected loss. OK, so that's sometimes called the pseudo-regret. So what we can show here is that if your distribution is of a nice type, and this is often quantified by making what's called a Bernstein assumption, then you get a fast rate again. So we now see that there is sort of an interpolation between the d log t rate and the square root t rate, where for the hard parameters beta, it's still square root t, so you get the worst case regret. For the good parameters beta, you only get the d log t regret, and there's a nice spectrum all the way. So the nice thing that happens here is that you don't need any curvature, so you can deal with absolute loss, hinge loss, and get fast rates in those cases. Okay, and the technical reason is that you can bound the variance by the regret and solve for the regret bound, get this. So if you want to know more about this, we can help you out at poster number 76, which is actually a different paper, but it's about exactly this point here. So we are very happy that we made a new generation of algorithms that can do something that we couldn't do before, namely to do broad spectrum adaptivity. So we're very happy to recommend this method to you. It will definitely work great. I have to stop, so let's come to us. See you tonight at poster 187. Thanks.